الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد على آل سيدنا محمد كلما ذكرك الذاكرون وغفل عن ذكرك الغافلون. In the tireless campaign of the Rawafid in attacking the Shaykhain and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, they have gone past bounds and they have gone past all etiquette in discourse. Sometimes they quote the books of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah in order to cast aspersions upon the Shaykhain and the very character of the Shaykhain. Unfortunately, some Sunni Muslims criticize those who attack those very rawafid who attack the companions of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This is very sad, because if someone were to attack the Sufi Shaykh of a certain tariqah within the Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah, the Muridun of that Shaykh will attack those people who have attacked their Shaykh. But when companions, and indeed the best of creation after the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam, which is the physician of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu and Sayyiduna Umar al-Faruq radiallahu anhu are attacked, people criticize those people who defend these very companions. On the other hand, the Rawafid and those who clothe themselves with the clothing of the Rawafid promote or pretend to promote the love of the Ahlul Bayt. And we, the Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, do not have anything against those who promote Sayyiduna Ali Karamallahu Wajhahu al-Kareem alayhi salam, and those who promote Sayyidatuna Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam and their pure sons and their lineage. But the problem arises when the Rawafid try forwarding an image of the companions and the Ahlul Bayt as being two opposed entities, two groups of people who after and during the time when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was around and after he sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam had passed away were at loggerheads with one another, and were two groups of people who fell out with each other. The Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah do not accept this interpretation, after which the Rawafid forward an image from the books of Tariq and the books of Hadith, presenting narrations from the books of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah to show that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu and Umar al-Faruq radiallahu anhu were two people who opposed the Ahlul Bayt and who hated the Ahlul Bayt and oppressed the Ahlul Bayt. What led me to research the Shia, the Rawafid, and I refuse to call them Shia in fact, because we ourselves name ourselves as Shi'atu Ali, Shi'atu Sayyidina Ali Karamallahu Wajhahu al-Kareem, and we are promoters of Sayyidina Ali Karamallahu Wajhahu al-Kareem alayhi salam and his Ahlul Bayt. But we do not accept the Rawafid version of Shia Islam. We only accept Sunni Shiaism. In fact, the title Shia, there is nothing wrong with the title Shia. But if the title Shia is distorted with rifq, meaning rejectionism, rejection of the companions and the validity of the caliphate of Sayyiduna Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu and Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu, then we reject such type of rejectionism. So the rejectionists, the Rawafid, in order to cast assertions on Umar al-Faruq, have forwarded narrations within the very Sunni works to state that Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu carried out certain actions which even a common Muslim would not do. And they attack Sayyiduna Umar and then say to the Ahl Sunnah, How can you accept such a man to be the best of creation after the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam and after Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu? And from amongst those stories which they place and they quote from their works is that Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu attacked the daughter of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Fatima al-Zahra alayha salam. And let it be said also that it is a valid position of the Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah that the best of creation after the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam is Fatima al-Zahra from the women. This is a valid position within Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah. So they attack Sayyiduna Umar, or attack the very figure of Umar radiallahu anhu by quoting an incident which they say that Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu, after the event of Saqifatu Bani Sa'ida, went to the house of Sayyidatuna Fatima alayha salam and at first threatened the daughter of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and then had the house burnt and kicked down the door of Sayyidatuna Fatima alayhi salam, which resulted in the miscarriage of Sayyidatuna Fatima alayhi salam with the child Muhsin, who was in the womb of Fatima alayhi salam at the time, which also resulted later on in the early death of Fatima alayhi salam. In order to prove that this event took place, they quote the tariqh of Al-Imam al-Tabari and quote other works associated or attributed to the Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. One such quoted work is the book Al-Milal wal Nihal by Al-Shahristani, Abu al-Fath Muhammad bin Abd al-Karim Al-Shahristani. We will come to that work later, but the first work which is quoted is the Tariq of Al-Imam al-Tabari. Another work which is quoted is the Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shayba. And there are other works which are also quoted, but let me say that it is a common deception of the Rawafid to quote works and present a barrage of references without mentioning that those very authors that they are quoting are simply quoting a position of other groups. For instance, one Rafidi quoted the work As-Sawa'iq al-Muhriqa of Ibn Hajar al-Haytami and stated that Ibn Hajar takes certain positions of the Rawafid, but on closer inspections one will find that the work of Sawa'iq al-Muhriqa is a banned book in Syria, because the Nusayri Shia sect who rule Syria banned this work because it attacks the Rawafid in all their forms and promotes the love of the Ahlul Bayt in accordance with the understanding of the Ahlul Bayt and in accordance with the understanding of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah. But the event, if we turn to the tariq of Al-Imam al-Tabari, we find the event recorded under the year 11, Sanata Hadi Ashar, reported in volume 1, narration number 1818. Al-Imam al-Tabari provides the chain of narration. He states, حدثنا ابن حميد قال حدثنا جرير عن مغيرة عن زياد بن كليب قال أتى عمر بن الخطاب منزل علي وفيه طلحة والزبير ورجال من المهاجرين فقال والله لأحرقن عليكم أو لتخرجن إلى البيعة فخرج عليه زبير مسلفا بالسيف فعثر فسقط السيف من يده فوثبوا عليه فأخذوه. He states that Umar ibn al-Khattab went to the house of Ali, and in the house at the time was Talha, and Zubayr and some men from the immigrants, the meaning al-Muhajirin. He said, by Allah, I shall burn upon you, meaning the house, or you will come out to give bay'ah, meaning giving bay'ah to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Zubayr radiallahu anhu came out the house and sheathing his sword. However, he stumbled and the sword fell out of his hand. Then the people jumped upon him and took him. From this narration, we can infer certain points. Firstly, that the name of Fatima alayhi salam does not even appear in the narration. Neither does it mention that Umar radiallahu anhu had the house burnt down or kicked down the door for that matter. Neither does it mention anything else which the Shia versions, the Rafidi versions, contain in their works. Secondly, we find that in the house, it was the house of Sayyidina Ali according to this narration, but in the house there were men like Talha, Zubayr and other men, men from the Muhajireen. We should ask our Rafidi opponents as to whether they consider Sayyidatuna Fatima alayhi salam to be present amongst a group of men. Na'udhu billah min dhalik. We seek Allah's refuge from such a thought. It is obvious that Sayyidatuna Fatima alayhi salam was not in the house and must have been present in the house of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, most likely with the wives of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We also find that Talha and Zubayr and other companions are in the house. Now, what is the Rafidi position towards these companions? Do they consider these companions as righteous people? Or were they supporters of Ali, karamallahu wajhahu al-kareem? If they were supporters of Ali, karamallahu wajhahu al-kareem, then why do they hold enmity towards these companions also? Note also that this report contains the fact that Zubayr came out with a sword and then stumbled and the sword fell from his hand. Was Zubayr defending the daughter of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, or was he simply in opposition to Umar al-Faruq radiallahu anhu in trying to coerce the people to give bay'ah? The simple fact is that we must ask the Rawafid that what is their position relating to Zubayr, the father of Abdullah bin Zubayr, and what is their position relating to Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhum. Some of the Rawafid also hold the position that the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was buried in the house of Fatima. So they consider that when we go to visit the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in Al-Madinatul Munawwara, he in fact is buried in the room of Sayyidatuna Fatima, and that is not the room of Aisha radiallahu anha. For those Rawafid who hold this position, this narration or the understanding of this narration to mean that the house of Fatima was burnt does not hold, because if they consider that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam was buried in the house of Fatima, then that means that the very Rawda al-Sharifa was burnt. And this is something historically not recorded. However, if they hold the position that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam was buried in the room of Aisha radiallahu anha, then this is a virtue for Aisha radiallahu anha and a virtue for those two companions who are buried next to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam anha. Rather, he was addressing Talha and Zubayr and the other men of the Muhajireen who were his peers, and many of them were younger than him in age and lower in rank than him. So even if he did threaten them in any way, this was not a sin on the part of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, because he was on the truth, and the truth was to stop discord in the ummah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Because the position of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was that he was the door which stopped fitna. And when that door was broken, fitna poured out in the time of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. He was simply carrying out his role of stopping fitna. It is interesting to note that the narration found in the Shia sources differs greatly from the Sunni sources. But one such narration to be found in Haqqul Yaqeen, a book of the Shia, states that Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu addressed the daughter of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and said that there is no one greater in our eyes than the Ahlul Bayt of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. There is no one more beloved to us than the daughter of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the adab and ihtiram and mahabba, meaning the etiquette and the love which we have for you, will not prevent us from taking out these people who are gathered in your house in order to cause turmoil in the Muslim nation. This narration can be found in Haqqul Yaqeen. Even though we do not consider the Shia sources, the Rafidi sources, as valid references, we ask the Rafidis that why do they not quote this version when quoting the events that transpired that day. However, as has been stated, that the most likely thing is that Sayyidatuna Fatima alayhi salam was not present, because the men who had gathered were not mahram for Sayyidatuna Fatima alayhi salam. And it is not conceivable that non-mahram men had gathered in the house of Sayyidatuna Fatima alayhi salam. To sum up the narration contained in At-Tabari, the narration does not contain any such mention of the burning of the house of Sayyidatuna Fatima, neither the kicking of the door of the house of Sayyidatuna Fatima, neither the miscarriage of Sayyidatuna Fatima alayhi salam. Neither does it contain any mention of Sayyidatuna Fatima alayhi salam by name. Neither does it contain any threat made to Sayyidatuna Fatima alayhi salam and her children. Neither is it conceivable that Sayyidina Ali karamallahu wajhahu al-kareem was residing in the house and his wife was threatened and he did not come out to defend his honor and the honor of the Ahlul Bayt. This does not make any sense, because the Shia, the Rawafid, not in the campaign of insulting the companions, not only insult the companions but also insult the Ahlul Bayt and the honor of the Ahlul Bayt. Because it is not conceivable in any way or form that Sayyiduna Ali karamallahu wajhahu al-kareem was present in the house and his wife was threatened and his child was killed and his wife was harmed and his house was burnt to the ground, and yet he did not come out to defend his family or take revenge upon the individual who had carried out this crime. So from this it becomes clear that this story is a fabrication, or the additional drama which has been added onto this by the Shia Malalila, the mullahs of the Shia, is done in order to promote the hatred of the Ahlul Bayt and the companions. As a side remark, the narrators found in this chain, like Ziyad ibn Kulayb, regarding him, al-Dhahabi states in Mizanul I'tidal, volume 1, page 358, قال أبو حاتم ليس بالمتين في حفظه. Abu Hatim stated regarding him that he is not strong in his memory or memorization. The other narrator, Jarir bin Abdul Hamid, he stated regarding him in Mizan al-Itidal, قال أحمد بن حنبل لم يكن بالذهن في الحديث لكن ذكر البيهقي في سننه 30 حديثا لجرير بن عبد الحميد قال قد نسب في آخر عمره إلى سوء الحفظ. That what was attributed to him was bad memory. However, even if the narration is accepted, the points mentioned previously suffice in order to refute the claim that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu carried out any type of atrocity against the Ahlul Bayt. Ibn Hadid in his commentary on Nahjul Balagha states regarding this event, وَأَمَّا مَا ذَكَرَهُ مِنَ الْهُجُومِ عَلَى دَارِ فَاتِمَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا وَجَمْعِ الْحَطَبِ لِتَحْرِيقِهَا فَهُوَ خَبْرٌ وَاحِدٌ غَيْرُ مَوْثُوقٍ بِهِ وَلَا مُعَوَّلَ عَلَيْهِ فِي حَقِّ الصَّحَابَةِ بَلْ وَلَا فِي حَقِّ أَحَدِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِمَّنْ ظَهَرَتْ عَدَالَتُهُ. That as for what people mention, or what is mentioned regarding the attack on the house of Fatima alayha salam wa radiyallahu anha and the gathering of wood to burn the house down, then it is a solitary report, lone narrator report, and it is non-authentic or non-reliable. The report is not reliable, and neither does it prove any type of deviancy regarding the rights of the companions, and not even the rights of any of the common Muslims who have some type of uprightness. This is mentioned by Ibn Hadid in his commentary on Nahjul Balagha in volume 4, part 20, page 462. I would also like to add that Ibn Hadid stating that this is a solitary report, even that solitary report which we just scathed through in the Tariq of Tabari, does not mention anything which sums up to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu gathering firewood to burn the house of Sayyidatuna Fatima, or even burning the house, or even her having a miscarriage. Na'udhu billah min dhalik. We take refuge from the claims of the Rawafid. As for the references made to other works, an example of that work is the work of Ash-Shahristani Al-Milal Wal-Nihal. We find on page 48 of Al-Milal Wal-Nihal, the edition of Al-Maktab Al-Asriya, that the reference the Rawafid have made is, it gives the impression that Ash-Shahristani, the author of Al-Milal Wal-Nihal, takes that very position of the Rawafid. But like any other reference which the Rawafid generally give, if looked at with close inspection, one will find that quoting the sect known as An-Nizamiyya, who were a group of the Mu'tazila, he mentions their positions relating to numerous aspects of Islamic creed. And he mentions point 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. When he gets to point 11, he states regarding Ibrahim bin Sayyar bin Hani al-Nizam, who died in the year 221 in Basra, mayluhu ila rift, that he is being drawn to rift rejectionism, wa waqi'atuhu fi kibar as-sahabati, and he is attacking major companions. Qala awwalan la imamata illa bin nass wa ta'yini zahiran makshufa, that there is no imamat except by stipulation and specification, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specified the imama for Sayyiduna Ali karamallahu wajhahu al-kareem, which is also one of the creedal points of the Twelvers. وَقَدْ نَصَّ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى عَلِيٍّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ فِي مَوَاضِعَ, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam specified Ali to be his successor in numerous places, and we covered this in our dars on the hadith Man kuntu mawlahu fa'aliyun mawlah, and our dars on the other evidences presented by the Twelvers. Wa adhharahu idhharan lam yashtabih ala al-jama'ah, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam showed the caliphate or the imamate of Sayyidina Ali karamallahu wajh al-kareem, in which there was no doubt for the group, meaning the group of companions who were witnessing that. إِلَّا أَنَّ عُمَرَ كَتَمَ ذَلِكَ, except that Umar radiallahu anhu hid this. وَهُوَ الَّذِي تَوَلَّى بَيْعَةَ أَبِي بَكْرٍ يَوْمَ السَّقِيفَةِ. And according to this man, who Ash-Shahr al-Thani is quoting, he held the belief that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was the one who forced people to give bay'ah to Abu Bakr on the day of Saqifa. وَنَسَبَهُ إِلَى الشَّكِّ يَوْمَ الْحُدَيْبِيَةِ, and he attributed doubt to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu on the day of Al-Hudaybiyah في سؤاله الرسول صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم حين قال ألسنا على الحق, when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, are we not upon the truth, أليسوا على الباطل, and upon that are they not upon falsehood, قال نعم, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said yes, قال عمر, عمر رضي الله عنه said, فلما نعطي أدنية في ديننا, why shall we be disgraced in our religion. This hadith is also quoted by the Rawafid, attributing doubt to Sayyidina Ali, to Sayyidina Umar رضي الله عنه. And this hadith has been narrated in Al-Bukhari, and we will deal with this in this set of durus insha'Allah ta'ala. But going back to the topic, he states further down, فَقَالَ إِنَّ عُمَرَ ضَرَبَ بَطْنَ فَاطِمَةَ يَوْمَ الْبَيْعَةِ, that Umar radiallahu anhu hit the belly of Fatima on the day of bay'ah, حَتَّى أَلْقَتِ الْجَنِينَ مِنْ بَطْنِهَا, until the fetus that was in her belly was miscarried. وَكَانَ يَسِيحُ أَحْرِقُ دَارَهَا بِمَنْ فِيهَا, and that he shouted, Umar shouted, burn the house and those who are in the house. وَمَا كَانَ فِي الدَّارِ غَيْرَ عَلِيٍّ وَفَاطِمَةَ وَالْحَسْنِ وَالْحُسَيْنِ, and there was no one in the house except Ali, Fatima, Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn. Then he mentions other matters which Ibrahim bin Sayyar bin Hani al-Nizam held regarding Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. But what becomes clear from this is that Ash-Shahristani is quoting the position of al-Nizam without providing any chain of narration and without mentioning any justification for that claim. There is no chain of narration, neither is there reference to that chain of narration. The most any Rafidi can present is the narration as is reported in the Tariqh of al-Tabari and the Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shayba. And the version found in the Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shayba is similar to the one found in Haqqul Yaqeen, where there is no mention of any burning of the house, there is no mention of any kicking of any door, there is no mention of any miscarriage of Sayyidatuna Fatima alayhi salam. It is also interesting to note that Ash-Shahristani, the author of Al-Milal wal-Nihl, is also criticized by Ibn Hajar rahimahullah ta'ala in Lisan al-Mizan, volume 5, page 63, under the Harf Mim. And Lisan al-Mizan has a very critical edition by Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, the best edition out in the market. He states, وَكَانَ مُتَّهَمًا بِالْمَيْلِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْبِدْعِ يَعْنِي الْإِسْمَعِيلِيَةَ وَالدَّعْوَةَ إِلَيْهِمْ لِضَلَالَتِهِمْ. He was affiliated to people of innovation, meaning the Ismailiyya sect, and he would call to their da'wah, meaning he was someone who would call towards the Ismaili belief. This is also asserted by Ibn Subki in Tabaqat al-Shafi'iyya al-Kubra. He says, في تاريخ شيخنا الذهبي أن ابن السمعاني ذكر أنه كان متهما بالميل إلى أهل القلاع يعني الإسماعيلية والدعوة إليهم. That our Shaykh, meaning al-Dhahabi. Now, even though certain people have criticized the scholarship of Al-Imam al-Zahabi, people who have no depth of knowledge have criticized al-Zahabi for simply being the student of Ibn Taymiyyah. But this statement is quoted by Ibn Subki, who doubtlessly was the Imam of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah in his time. He states, quoting al-Zahabi in his Tariq, that Ibn Sam'ani mentioned him that he was accused of being ascribed to the people of Qala', meaning the Ismailiyya, and he would call towards their da'wah, meaning he would call towards their way. And he was also accused of heresy and having a strong leaning towards tashayyur, baghal fi tashayyur, meaning very extreme in tashayyur. One is having leanings towards Ahlul Bayt, which of itself there is nothing wrong with. But another thing is being extreme, which leads one to insult companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Something similar is mentioned by the major mujtahid shaykh of the Shia, Abbas Qumi, in his work Al-Kuna wal-Alqad, volume 3, page 364, which we will not quote for the sake of brevity. But those interested from the Rawafid can go back to that work and look it up. Another reference which was made is the work Ma'arij al-Nubuwa, not to be confused with the work Madarij al-Nubuwa of our Shaykh Abdul Haq al-Muhaddith al-Dahlawi rahimahullahu ta'ala. Regarding this work, the foremost authority of the Indian subcontinent, foremost authority of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah, Ahmad Rida Khan al-Barelwi rahimahullahu ta'ala, states in his work Ahkam al-Shari'at that this book was purely written for admonition, and this man adds any ratl and yabis, meaning every moist and writing, meaning anything which is fabricated and anything which is authentic, for the sake of admonition. The author, his name is Mullah Mu'in Kashifi, and as has been made clear by Imam Ahmad Rida Khan rahimahullah, he was simply a person who was a wa'iz, an admonisher, and not a muhaqqiq, a researching Sunni scholar. However, even if we were to open this work, which is in Farsi, under bab number 3, chapter number 3, page 33, we find that nowhere does he mention that Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu had the house of Fatima alayhi salam burnt, or kicked down the door, or because of the actions of Sayyiduna Umar did Sayyidatuna Fatima alayhi salam have miscarriage. Rather, he only mentions that Sayyiduna Ali and Sayyidatuna Fatima had children. From amongst those children were Hassan, Hussein, Zainab, and Umm Kulthum and Ruqayya. And there was a child by the name of Muhsin who died. But he does not mention as to why that child died, but yet we still find the Rawafid, the extreme Shias, quoting this book to say that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was the cause of why that miscarriage took place. When in fact, if we look into At-Tabari, the Tariq of At-Tabari and the Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shayba, we will find that there is no such report to that effect. It is interesting to note that we find in Shia sources that Sayyiduna Ali karamallahu wajhahu al-kareem stated regarding Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu after he had passed away, مَا أَحَدٌ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ أَنْ أَلْقَ اللَّهَ بِسَحِيفَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا الْمُسَجَّةِ. There is no one more beloved that I meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their book of works than this one who is covered, meaning Umar radiallahu an. This can be found in the work Ma'ani al-Akhbar, page 412, the new print printed in Tehran. The work Ma'ani al-Akhbar is by Shaykh Abu Ja'far Muhammad bin Ali, Shaykh Suduq. Other issues we will clarify in forthcoming
Durus, insha'Allah ta'ala, are attacks made by the Rawafid upon Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, like the doubting during Yawm al-Hudaybiyah, or the alleged doubting. And the hadith Qirtas, the hadith relating to the pen and paper, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam had some words or wasiyah, a will to be written, and the will was not written for whatever reason. And other issues like the marriage of Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu to the daughter of Sayyiduna Ali karamallahu wajha al-kareem, the Shia, the Rawafid, deny that this ever took place. So inshallah, in forthcoming durus, we will deal with this issue. Are there any questions?
Some people claim on a specific website about the non-existence of Abdullah bin Saba. What's your view on that?
So certain people have claimed,
claiming that basically he never existed,
that Abdullah bin Saba never existed. I think we covered Abdullah bin Saba in previous durus, which unfortunately were placed on the net without my prior permission and had not been edited. But in that address which I delivered to this group of students, I mentioned some historical references from Sunni sources which mentioned the existence of Abdullah bin Saba. Some of the reports are flimsy, and many people have questioned as to the existence of Abdullah bin Saba, as to whether he was a real historical figure or not. But the fact is that a sect which was known as Saba'iyya is known to have existed. This sect can be found in Maqalatul Islamiyin, volume 1, page 86. Also in Al-Farqu Bayn Al-Firq, page 233, and Al-Tabsir, page 71. In those three sources, the scholars of those works have affirmed that there was a sect known as Saba'iyya. Also, Al-Shahristani mentions this sect to exist in his work Al-Milal Wal-Nihal, on page 140. However, we do not claim that the Saba'iyya are totally the only reason as to why the modern day 12 Shia exist. In fact, Abdullah bin Saba was just the leader of one particular sect at that time, and was killed by Sayyiduna Ali karamallahu wajha al-kareem himself, as we covered in the previous durus. Now, if the Rawafid do not accept the Sunni sources stating that Abdullah bin Saba existed, they must accept their own sources. To us it makes no difference as to whether Abdullah bin Saba existed or not. But if they accept their own sources that he existed, then they must affirm the origins of certain Rawafid sects like the Saba'iyya and other sects like Nusayriya, who made Sayyiduna Ali karamallahu wajhul kareem the Godhead, the deity, which the Twelvers do not believe in. But they must affirm that Abdullah bin Saba was the sole cause of such people holding such a belief. But if they reject these reports, then they must reject other reports which contain chains of narration which the Rawafid otherwise would accept. Meaning the chains of narration which are provided for the story of Abdullah bin Saba have been accepted by some of the imams of the Rawafid. So if they accept those reports, then they must also accept the reports of Abdullah bin Saba. But if they reject the reports of Abdullah bin Saba, then they must reject other reports. But for Sunni Muslims, it makes no difference as to if this man existed or not. What our main point in these durus is to show that the attacks on the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam cannot be justified in any way or form, whether that method of attacking them is through aql, intellect, or through naql, by copying from the works of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. Are there any more questions?
No more questions.
والحمد لله رب العالمين.